Coming up next on Functional Moms Podcast.
Yes, because two things are happening. They're building their metabolism by building muscle, and they're getting their metabolism revved up again. Like, their bodies are feeling safe. I'm getting enough nutrients and calories. So they're revving up our metabolism and they're hungry. So a lot of women, it's amazing. They're not even hungry for food. They're like, Chris, not, I eat once a day. I'm not even hungry. And they have 100 pounds to lose. Like, it's so, it blows my mind when I first discovered this like 10 years ago. I'm like, my clients have a lot of weight to lose. They're obese, but they're not even eating much. So it's all about the metabolism and getting it revved up.
Welcome to Functional Moms Podcast, lifestyle medicine for women over 40. Let's age on our own terms. If you're a woman over 40 looking to lose weight and feel confused about all the conflicting advice out there, this episode is for you. So many women, including me, find themselves putting on weight after 40, even though we're pretty much eating and exercising the same way we always have. It is so frustrating, and today we're going to get some answers.
Our guest is Chris DeHollander. She is a midlife certified functional health coach and group fitness instructor with over 20 years of experience helping women feel their best. As a former engineer, Chris uses her insights in a down-to-earth, easy-to-understand way that helps them make real progress. She believes in a sustainable, gentle approach, focusing on consistency rather than quick fixes, so women can achieve lasting results without the stress.
As a coach for the Faster Way to Fat Loss, Chris works with clients in her six-week fitness and nutrition group program, offering a personalized approach tailored to midlife women. I have had the pleasure of being in Chris's program, and I learned so much about losing weight and also gaining muscle, which is so important.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to start by hearing your story, because you were regularly exercising, you were a group fitness class instructor and eating pretty healthy, and found yourself not feeling your best. Can you please explain and share more?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. This is my mission, to help midlife women just feel their best, age healthfully, and age powerfully. I'm so excited to be here. And where I got today is part of my journey. I'm 55 years old. I've been in menopause for 4 years. And even being a functional health coach for 10 years and also group fitness instructor for 27 years, 1997 is when I started teaching step class. And I've been in this fitness world for a while. So I was practicing what I was preaching, eating whole foods, even getting protein on my plate, balancing my blood sugar, which I thought I was doing, and doing hour-long group fitness classes. I was also an avid triathlete. I was doing marathons, triathlons, all these things. And all of a sudden, I still remember the morning where the weather was turning a little chillier, and I put on my jeans and I was like, what the heck? They are tight. And I remember that morning, I ran with my friend, and I was just like, I don't know what else I could do. We're running, I was doing a lot of cardio, and I'm like, I cannot exercise more without feeling like totally depleted or taking over my day. I was already doing hour-long fitness classes or running or doing things on my own, probably 6 days a week. And then I was already eating healthy, like mostly whole foods, protein on my plate. I was like, I don't know how I can clean up my diet even more without it feeling like some restricted diet. And I didn't want to do that because I don't like to be hungry. I don't like to feel deprived, because really that's not sustainable. It's not sustainable to, you know, like, I love food and I love enjoying all kinds of food. So I was at that crossroads of, you know, really, what do I do? And I will say things are getting better now in, you know, sharing more about menopause and what happens to the hormones. But right, back 6 years ago, there was nothing. And I was just shocked, because, you know, when you have a baby, right? So I remember, like, there's tons of books on like what to do when you're pregnant, what to expect when you're expecting, you know, that book, and every month, yes, what's going on in your body. And I was like, where's the book for perimenopause, menopausal women? Like, where's the book that tells me what's going on with my body and what I was doing prior to that time is no longer working for me? And so that brought me to my journey of really just signing up for every certification I could find. Here I was, already functional health coach, all the training, but no one really covered this in depth. So I found a couple online courses. courses, studied it voraciously, and then applied it to my own body. And it was amazing because I was actually working out less, eating more food, and eating more protein, and my body was responding. And so there's so much science that supports that. And it was just incredible to me that no one was talking about this. And I think that's why my Instagram just kind of blew up, because I was right there at the right time where women were seeking, you know, answers to like what was going on. And I was explaining the science behind the declining hormones and what it does to your body. So I was able to tap into the functional nutrition part of my training, and then also the practical part of really tracking what's coming into your body to understand, are you truly nourishing your body? So it was quite a journey. And I'm glad that I, as soon as that started to happen, I just didn't settle. I was like, I got to figure this out. Let me make changes. And I caught it just in time before it was going to run away. For some women, that does happen. So that's my story. I have so much more, but it was really out of my own health and my own, right, you know, not only like pants for fitting tight, but my energy level was tanking. My sleep was suffering. I was like, I didn't know what was going on. So it was really eye opening. And then to apply it and to see that this actually does work is just amazing. So I wanted to spread this news to the world.
And what you said is a dream too. You said you're eating more and exercising less, which is the opposite of what most of us think we should be doing.
Right. So then I was like, okay, I want to share this in a program. And that's where I found the Faster Way. And a lot of women think it's like, you know, diet culture and all this, but I'm like, no, my job is to get women to eat more, exercise efficiently, you know, not you right. know, spend an hour in the gym efficiently and effectively for what your body needs, and eat more and sleep more and rest more. So I'm telling women to do more and not deprivation, push, you know, you got to eat less. Like that is so empowering, because there is a better solution to that, because that doesn't actually work. It doesn't actually work.
Right. Because all that increases your stress hormone.
Absolutely. Yeah. You right? know it. And so it's not, a lot of women think that fat loss or weight loss is like a simple like equation. Calories in, calories out. But we have to consider the health of our hormones. And hormones, especially in women, especially in midlife, can cause us that calculator equation not to work properly, because there's so many things that are in place. Like you said, hormone cortisol, your thyroid function, low estrogen, all insulin, all these hormones are working against you really in this stage of life. So we have to work a little bit smarter, but not harder.
Gotcha. So that would be the answer to why is it so hard to lose weight after 40 for women? It equals the hormones. It's because of our hormones at this stage of our life.
Yep. Right. So we're losing estrogen, right? So estrogen is helps us with fat loss. Our testosterone is lowering, so we're losing muscle mass. So if you're not actively building your muscle and eating a proper diet to build that muscle, because muscle takes both the strength training and the nutrition to build muscle. So if you're not doing those things, you're actively losing muscle. So then you're left, that muscle mass loss right. lowers your metabolism. So that happens. So cortisol goes up, thyroid function can go down. A lot of times women's thyroid function downregulates because estrogen is connected with thyroid. So it's these hormones that are declining, or insulin resistance can happen. So there's a whole bag of hormones that are not working or the same way they did when we were younger.
You know, it makes perfect sense, because in the past, I guess when you're in your 20s or 30s, you can get away with maybe exercising a little more or eating a little less, and you see that shift quickly. But definitely, you know, for me, I'm 48. I would say after 40, I noticed a difference. And now as I'm getting closer and I'm in that perimenopause, I see even more of a difference. So yeah. I think that this is really helpful for people, because you're kind of busting a myth, really. There's a myth. Like, it's just, you know, right. eat less. Like, that's the myth.
Yeah. I coach a lot of smart, intelligent women, and they know how to push hard. They know how to push hard, do eat less, exercise more. I'm just going to do what I know has worked in the past. And so they're like, I just need to give a little bit more effort and like hustle. And I'm like, no, let's back off. And we need really more rest. We need more lower cortisol lowering activities. We need to be listening to our bodies. Like, so there's so much more. I call it gentle consistency. Like, be gentle with your body in this stage of right. life, because we have so much stress coming at us. I tell my friends all the time, I'm like, it's harder to have adult age children, in my opinion, than little toddlers. Like, it's hard physically with the toddler stage, but the adult age children is so mentally like exhausting sometimes because they have their struggle, you know?
I am so with you. I always tell, like, with when I had toddlers, I had my kids were little, you know, I tucked them into bed. I knew where they were. I knew what was, I'm not like by my window looking out the curtain. When are they coming home? What time is it? You know, they're out driving and about. And, you know, the other thing that you just mentioned when you said like these smart women that know how to push, you know, they get things done. And because there was a time where we, you know, ate less and worked out and it was like the magic potion. You know, I remember when that did work for me. And then all of a sudden it stopped working for me. And it's almost like, what the heck? Like, what is going on? It's like you just, it's like you feel like you're just constantly fighting a losing battle.
Yeah, it feels, and that's, and you use the word fight, like we are fighting it, right? But really, we don't have to fight it. We just have to find a different strategy that actually works with our changing biology. Yeah. And so I think a lot of women out there, if you're listening and you're saying like, yeah, Chris, I relate to you. I'm working out more. I'm eating less. It's not working. So the definition of insanity is to continue to do what you're doing and expect different results. So if you're in that place, like, okay, it is time to make some changes. And I'll tell you, it is hard. I mean, I used to be an avid marathoner and triathlete. And I had to come to grips and say, like, this is no longer serving me. It's not healthy. I feel exhausted, all this long forms of cardio. And I just had to sit down with myself and say, because I felt like I lost part of myself. I felt like I was no longer strong. But when I made the switch to doing more strength training, shorter workouts, more rest, and saw the results and had the energy, I was hooked because it works. And then I was able to utilize that energy to do other things in my life besides, you know, ride my bike for hours. I still miss it every once in a while, but it is so worth it because of how you feel, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So we would like to ask you about your nutrition advice. There is so much noise out there. I mean, let's be honest. There's like keto, paleo, vegan. There's intermittent fasting, not intermittent fasting, like all of it. So we would like to know sort of some of your top tips. Like I know you say, for example, like 2 eggs is not an ideal breakfast. How come? Because for years, that's what I ate.
Yes. And so a lot of women don't realize that 2 eggs only has 12 grams of protein in it. And so while it's a great start, it's much better than having toast or cereal. But if you really want to upgrade that, I recommend for every midlife woman, and when I say midlife, 40s, 50s and above, at least 30 grams with each meal. So what that does for you is it almost guarantees that you're getting around 2.5 grams to 3 grams of this amino acid called leucine, which helps stimulate muscle protein synthesis. And so that, what to just stay in basic language, is going to help you grow muscle. So in order for you to maintain the muscle you have or grow it, which we want not only just to look good, you're going to look good, but you're for longevity, for to be able to be in your 80s, to go, you know, work in your garden, be independent, is to really get that 30 grams of protein with your meal. At least most women do better with more, and not only for muscle development, but also for stabilizing your blood sugar, which is an important thing because without estrogen, which the lowered estrogen, your blood sugar can be wonky and that could cause blood sugar spikes, fat storage, sugar craving. Those nighttime wake up are a lot of times your blood sugar is going wonky and your body is sending out cortisol to bring up your blood sugar. So you wake up and you think you'll have to pee at night, but really it's your blood sugar spiking, waking you. And then you go to the restroom. So a lot of women who balance their blood sugar during the day with eating enough protein tend to sleep better. And so that's just a snowball effect because that sleep is going to help you with the insulin resistance. It's going to help you have energy for your workouts, help you lower that cortisol. Yeah. So the protein piece is the big thing. And having it in that large dosage, like I get the question all the time, like, can I have my 2 eggs and then have a snack and then a meal and then a snack? And as long as my total protein works for the day, does that work, Chris? And so, but to get that dose of that leucine right after your workout, all throughout the day, you really need to get that at one meal. So getting that full dose at one meal. So that's what I see a lot of women coming in, you know, increasing their protein, but they're getting it, snacking all throughout the day to get it. Does that make sense?
Is what you're saying that it's when your the goal is to get at least a minimum of 30 grams of protein per meal. I know I saw something that you have posted, and I guess for you personally, you try to get 120 grams of protein per day. Is that correct?
Yes. So I know because I have more muscle mass, so I aim for 125-ish. Yeah.
Right. So then you break that down. Do you break down your 120 grams of protein into three meals? Is that what you do? Because you're trying to get that complete, like, let's say 30 grams. So like that's minimum at that one sitting, because that's where it's going to be the most beneficial.
Yeah. So I like to get 40 at breakfast, lunch, dinner, because here's the thing. If you get 20 at breakfast, 30 at lunch, then you have all this protein to eat at dinner and it's impossible. You'll be so full, you'll stuffed, you won't get it in. So that's one reason.
Okay.
Also for optimal muscle building, you want to get that 30 gram mark at each of the meals throughout the day. Like distribute your protein evenly throughout the day is going to be key. So a lot of the standard American diet is a lower protein, lower breakfast, right? Think of avocado toast, even two eggs, and then a moderate amount of protein at lunch. And then dinner can be a little bit more, but really spacing them out evenly is ideal for muscle growth and blood sugar. And this is hard for some women because they get to breakfast and are like, holy moly, you expected me to eat all of this food. And so at that point, we really have to get these ladies to get their bodies used to all this food, first of all, and getting their metabolism going. So most likely they're under eating. I see this a lot. A lot of women who eat healthy are under eating. And so just eat to 80% full, make it a goal to just increase a little bit each week. And then I love this when clients are like, Chris, I couldn't eat all this food before, and now I'm hungry. And I'm like, yes, because two things are happening. They're building their metabolism by building muscle, and they're getting their metabolism revved up again. Like their bodies are feeling safe. I'm getting enough nutrients and calories. So they're revving up their metabolism and they're hungry. So a lot of women, it's amazing. They're not even hungry for food. They're like, Chris, I eat once a day. I'm not even hungry, and they have 100 pounds to lose. Like, it's so, it blows my mind when I first discovered this like 10 years ago. I'm like, my clients have a lot of weight to lose. They're obese, but they're not even eating much. So it's all about the metabolism and getting it revved up.
I was just going to ask, is it true as you get older, do you not absorb protein as well?
Yeah. So a lot of things happen. I mean, you guys are functional health coaches as well. It's like we lose digestive enzymes as we age. We don't make as much or not as effective. So that's true with that protein, especially, but we're more anabolic resistant. Like we need more protein. And this includes men. I always get this question, like, what about my husband? As we age, two things happen. We need more protein, right? And then the low estrogen, we need more protein to stimulate that muscle protein synthesis I was talking about earlier with getting the right amount of leucine. So we need even more. So even if you were in your 20s and 30s, the amount of protein you needed back then was probably less than you need now in order to just maintain your muscle mass. Yeah. And then also, like, there's the value for muscle mass, but also how much protein do you need for balancing your blood sugar? Like, so sometimes we may need a little bit more. So it's like this dance between figuring that out. And that's what I help my clients do, is to really listen to their body. Like, if they could understand what they ate and how that affects how they feel, if they can make that connection, that is huge for them to learn the exact blueprint that works for them. Because earlier you said keto and intermittent fasting. So really we want to get to the big rocks of protein, eating enough fats and carbs. And the carbs is, there's a carb tolerance for everyone, depending on, you know, women that have more muscle can tolerate more carbs because it's like a glucose sink. And, or if you exercise more, you'll need more carbs. So everyone is different. And that's what I love about teaching my women. I have these big rock foundations I believe are important, but really to listen to your body. If you're hungry, your energy tanks, your cravings are there. These are all signs, your mood, your sleep. These are all signs that what you're doing is not working for you. Your nutrition needs to change, because ideally you're feeling energized. You're not having like 3 p.m. energy slumps. You're sleeping well. Of course, the body is very complicated, as you guys know, studying all the body systems and functional nutrition. But when I can get my clients to dial in their nutrition, nutrition. That just, my functional nutrition professor was like, clear the muddy waters, like make sure they're getting their blood sugar balanced, getting enough food in their bodies, protein, carbs, and fat. And then let's see what goes away from there. So that is my thing with all of that.
When you say, let's see what goes away from there, what can you give a little more detail on that?
Yeah. So like, for example, if you dialing in your nutrition is really going to help you like banish your sugar cravings, those like the nighttime snacking, the hunger, all the blood sugar swings that can happen, the hangriness, the moodiness. So the signs are like, if you're hungry, that's a sign that maybe you're not eating enough protein and fiber. If you have low energy, it could be many different things, but like, are you getting enough carbs for the activity level that you're doing? If you have sugar cravings, are you getting enough protein? And then are you distributing them throughout the day? I have a lot of clients who get that like afternoon like slump, which is natural, but there's a like, are they their meal spacing? Is it too like, are they eating at lunchtime at noon and then at 6 p.m. they're coming home from dinner and they're hangry, and around 4 they're like, I just really get so sleepy. And so that's all about, to me, like, okay, we need to bring in a snack, a high protein snack 30 minutes before you get sleepy, to see is that your blood sugar crashing because you haven't fed yourself well in 6 hours. That's almost a little too long to go between meals. So the meal timing matters. So like really that sustained energy is what I'm looking for. So right. If they're feeling the sleepiness, the cravings, the hunger comes back, those are all signs that, okay, something's going on with your nutrition. Let's dive a little deeper into why.
Right. So I just want to do a little follow-up on that. So those are like all the like the science like behind like why this could be happening to me, this could be happening to me. And then there's another part I think that has to do just with like habit, right? Like, or like, I just work so hard and I'm just going to say like, and I deserve this Twinkie now. It's just like, I just want to veg out and like scroll to my social media and like have some, you know, chocolate or whatever. It's like a treat because, you know, fill in the blank, right? And then we have that treat and we're like, we're enjoying it while we're doing it. And then we finish and then we're like, oh my God, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Right. And it's a vicious cycle. That's like a habit thing. And I just want to point that out because, you know, like, and I think that all those things that you talked about, like that's going to help dial it in, which is going to help, I think, that moment even better, because then you can maybe have some type of self-awareness and say, like, it's just like when you said before, listen to how you feel, because I think there's such a battle with that too. Just like the habit of being a certain way. It's like, I'm doing all the things, but I still, you know, fill in the blank.
I know. And, you know, I have an emotional eating coach on my team just for that very reason.
Perfect.
Because I like to rule out the physical. Like, you are nourishing your body. You're getting everything is dialed in. But yet, you know, 8:30 at night, you're reaching for the ice cream. And so she talks about physical hunger versus emotional hunger. And so it's good to rule out that you've done everything physically. You've downed your protein, you got enough nutrition, and you've based out your meals. Like, that's dialed in. Okay, so what's going on here with the ice cream or the Oreos, you know? And so one question to ask yourself there is like, all right, am I really truly hungry? If I'm hungry, I will eat some salmon and broccoli. If you're like, no, I want the ice cream and the cookie, then it could be an emotional eating, that you're seeking some kind of emotion from eating the ice cream, whether it's like comfort or relaxation. And so finding other ways to reach that feeling, like what are other things that you can do to get that same feeling besides food is
exactly
a great question to dive into.
Yeah, exactly. I just really wanted to touch base on that because I think that, you know, a lot of the women that I talk to, I think that's a huge thing. Even when you think like, you know, we still do it like, hey, you know, I'll tell my grand, I used to hear myself like tell my kids, basically, I don't do this. I'm more aware now with my grandson, but if you do this, you get this treat, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was always, if you eat your dinner, here's dessert. It was the thing.
Yeah, I know. Food can be a reward for so many things. You know, like when we were on the softball team, like afterwards you go out for pizza or you win the game, let's go to the ice cream store. So it is a brain connection that you're making between, you know, if it is like, okay, I just accomplished something, let me go treat myself to something. And I don't think that is necessarily a problem until you feel like it is a problem. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if it's getting in the way of your goals and causing you to feel shame and guilt, then then it's a good, I think that's a good indicator that, okay, maybe we need to do something with that.
Yeah. I love what you just said, because my own personal experience has also been like, if I ate something like, you know, ice cream, like for example, and I'd eat it. And then afterwards I started hearing myself, and God knows how long I've been doing this when I didn't have the awareness, but then I had the awareness that I was like beating myself up because I ate that ice cream. And then, or sometimes I'll be eating the ice cream and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like, oh, here I am again. I folded and I'm like, shut up. Like, just then put it down, don't eat it, or eat it and just enjoy it and be okay. And it's okay. And I think that that was so great what you said, because it's like, it becomes this cycle, and just the stress of that alone.
Yeah.
It becomes even more, it becomes more of a problem.
Yeah. And I think you're right. It's just, first step is just being aware that this is happening. And then what is your reaction to it? So, I mean, just to be, I mean, we're all here health professionals. I don't eat 100% perfect. I think sometimes we have this illusion that these influencers or whatever on Instagram are like 100% perfect. They don't have days where they're reaching for something that they didn't expect to reach for. And, you know, I have the stuff off plan. I had a little too much pizza that night. And I think that just to be real here, there's nobody there living this life with perfection. And it's not even an option. So I think First thing that I love to just share with my clients and everyone out there is just give yourself some grace. We are so hard on ourselves as women
to just do everything
perfectly. And, you know, if we just give ourselves the grace that we would our same children or our best friend or our parents, like, we are just our hardest critic of ourselves. And I think being aware of that is helpful. And if you keep being in that cycle, I've got a great friend that I can refer you to. And that's what she specializes in, that. And all is, it's all about mindset and your brain and retraining your brain to not reach for something like ice cream when you have a stressful day. So, and it's not your fault. It's just recognizing it. It's your brain's reaction to something that happened in the past. And so don't make it about like you're a bad person. You just need some tools, you know, that work.
Right. Exactly.
Well, we have to ask you about, we get a lot of questions from our listeners about vegetarians and vegans and how to get enough protein when you're following a plan like that. So if you could shed a little light on that, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, it definitely is harder because you are limited to plants, obviously, for your protein. And plants, a lot of the protein-rich plants are also packed with carbohydrates. So first I like to say is that if you could stay away from the processed protein, fake proteins out there, that's the first thing that I would say. That, I mean, you're better off eating some animal products than some of those fake things. So if you're thinking you're doing something healthy by that, I'm not sure that is a true thing. The second thing is, you know, a lot of, you have to be very, very intentional if you are vegetarian or plant-based, totally plant-based, to get your protein. You have to be intentional. You can't just wing that. You just can't wing it. You can't wing it even if you eat animal products, but it's even harder. Focusing on things like tempeh, which is like fermented soy, can be helpful because it's a higher source of it. If you can, you know, I'm a fan of protein powders. I am a fan of whole foods first, but for vegetarians, I really think they need to find a good source of a protein powder just to make at least one meal easier, you know, to really reach that. So that's what I have found that works for these ladies. Edamame, beans, lentils, those sources are great. I do set my vegetarians' protein goals lower than my animal-based ones. And so if they can eat more than that, some of them do allow eggs or fish, and that's helpful. So even if you can add in some of these other ones to kind of fill a little bit in the gap, but it breaks my heart when women come and they're like, okay, I can't have soy. I can't have animal products. I don't like, you know, well, tofu is soy, but I don't like these things. What do I have? And I'm like, there's not much that I can help you with.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's rough.
And then, so I do really feel like another question. I know a lot of vegetarians that thrive, lots. But if you are a vegetarian and you are hitting midlife and you're like, I just don't feel well, and it may be time to just really, really think what you're doing and is it working for you? Try to get that protein up. If that's still not working, evaluate. And you have a choice. Like, do you want to add in some animal products to see if you can feel better, or you can continue doing the vegetarian and stay where you are? So I'm not about forcing it, but I do think you have to be more strategic for sure.
Chris, I noticed that you mentioned that you lower the protein like requirement for this population. What does that look like? I know you said it was at minimum for 30 for animal, you know, like when women that do eat animal-based protein. What would it be for the vegetarians or vegans?
I would probably, it depends on many factors, but at like 20 to 25. And so there you go. Like it really, I mean, I would love to get 30. If they can get 30, but when I have clients, I want them to feel like I can achieve my goals. And that's the first step. Like, let's get you to 20. You're eating 10. Let's get you to 20. And then let's see, like, where can we improve that to 30? I would love 30, but I set them lower at first just to, you know, give them some big victories. Like, you want to feel like you can do this.
The small wins. The small wins. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, and here's the deal. Even if the science says 30 grams, if you are getting 20 grams at each meal, you're building the muscle, you feel good, all your blood markers are great, do it. You know, like the science is a great place to start for things. But if everything is alignment and you feel amazing, then you're keep going, sister. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. What is here's another question. What is carb cycling and can it help with weight loss?
Yes. So a couple of things. That is one of the strategies of the faster way. You do not have to do carb cycling in order to lose fat. However, it is a pretty neat strategy because in the faster way, the program that I coach, I customize it for midlife women. And carb cycling, we pair it with the high intensity interval training workouts. And though we have 2 days of those and we call them optimal fat burning days. So what we're really doing is taking advantage of a lower carbohydrate diet, higher fat, and then the amount of protein that you need. So the protein stays the same every single day of the week, but there's 2 days where we lower our carbs, increase our fat. So the calories are the same every day of the week. So we fill in the gap with the lower carbs into the fat goals. And so what that does is it does two things. It helps you, it teaches your body to rely on fat for fuel. We call it metabolic flexibility. And so your carbohydrates are your main fuel source. When that's low and you're burning it off through your exercise, your body is forced to use fat for fuel. And that's how we can teach our bodies to use the fat on your body for fuel as well. So that gets us deeper into that fat burning. But we don't want to do that every day. So women are always like, hey, if it works for 2 days, can I do it for five? You know, and so when it comes to midlife, everything is Goldilocks. We don't want to be doing too much because we need carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are demonized, but we need them for energy. We need them for a healthy microbiome. It's very much more sustainable. Could you imagine like not being able to eat bananas and because it's too high carbs every single day of the week? You know, God gave us all this amazing food and variety of it. And that's really important for that. So it takes advantage of kind of keto, but with a higher protein approach to dip into fat burning. And then we bring back the carbs in a moderate amount. It's not high, it's not low, it's a moderate to help us with our energy levels to fuel our strength training workouts. So we bring in the strength training workouts with the carbs. So it's a brilliant system. And for a lot of midlife women, this really works because the strategy is a little bit more refined. Does everyone need to do this to lose fat? No, but it's one of the strategies that we use. And it's really kind of, it's brilliant. And it worked for me and I was already doing all the things. So if you feel like you're doing all the things, this could be another thing that you implement. And I will tell you, I'm a fan of doing the least amount of work and getting the results you want. So, you know, if you're already getting the results you want with what you're doing, great. But if you're not, this could be a strategy that you can implement and try out.
And so when you say low carb, say if I'm going to do that 2 days a week, what does that look like?
Yeah. So it looks like around 50 net carbs, and we use net carbs. So it's really like your total carbohydrates minus your fiber. So I'm always a big fan of getting in at least 25 grams of fiber. So that looks like that day of eating might look like, you know, focusing on those non-starchy vegetables, like your leafy greens, your cucumbers, your carrots, you know, the broccoli, cauliflower, and a good source of protein, and then loading up in healthy fats like avocado, olives, nuts, and seeds. That would be a really good kind of low carb, high protein kind of meal. If you're going to have fruit, stick to like Granny Smith apples or blueberries that are low sugar. And that's kind of what like a low carb meal looks like. And I love eating that way. I feel great eating that way. A lot of women love it. But then I also love all the foods that have great carbs in it. We're going into like, you know, especially winter season, all the like The root vegetables are amazing for your immune system. And so I just feel like it's very sustainable because there's no really food off limits with the plan that we have.
And it's so true. Switching it up sometimes is what you need to do, even with your exercise program. You know, you kind of plateau, you need to try something new. So that sounds like a very effective strategy.
Yes, I love it. And the thing that this program does is we pair our nutrition with our fitness. So if they're talking to each other. So it's not like 1 and 1 equals 2. It's like a synergistic effect. So we have 1 plus 2, 1 equals 3 or 4. So it's like they work in combination. A lot of programs out there are just focusing on weight loss. Mm-hmm. They're not focusing on muscle building or enough protein. And I really think those are detrimental for midlife women, or the other programs are just focusing on the fitness part, but not really, focusing on the nutrition part to fuel those workouts. A lot of women, if you're strength training and not seeing muscle growth, there's so many things that could be happening there, but it could be that you're under eating, and protein is something you need to have every day. And if you are not getting enough, you're going to pull it from your muscles and you're going to lose muscle mass. Sure, you might lose weight, but you'll also lose precious muscle. And that's not what we want in this stage of life. We want to preserve every little muscle we have and actually build it. So some of those weight loss programs, that's the problem I have with them, is that they're sure you'll lose weight, but you will lower your metabolism and you'll be left with a skinnier version of yourself with muscle loss. You'll be weaker. And then, what we want to do is really rev up your metabolism with all the strength training, and so that you can keep the weight off. So it's one thing to lose it, and another thing is to maintain and keep it off. So that's why I love this program, because it's sustainable. It helps you rev up your metabolism versus breaking your muscles down.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what if you've never lifted weights before and you're over 40? It can seem overwhelming.
Yeah.
Where can people start?
I would say a good place to start, there's several things you could do. You could hire a personal trainer. That if you have money and you have time, they're going to be watching your form, all this stuff. So they can teach you how to lift properly, because there's a proper way. The second thing you can do is go to something like a group fitness class. I'm not a fan of fitness classes once you go to a certain level, because in the group fitness, I used to teach group fitness. I still do. But it's a cycle HIIT class. But their highest weight they have is like a 12 pounds. And so you get to the point where they just don't have the equipment for what you need to do.
Yeah,
that could be a good place to start, because as an instructor, my job is to go around and make sure everyone, I'm cueing the form, all that stuff. In the faster way, we do have a video you can watch, and they're cueing you. They have someone with modifications, and then there's like a video that demonstrates it. So if you're doing something where you're starting from home, and a lot of women like that because it's not intimidating, they can just do it from their house. I do recommend that you film yourself, because, and I do this all the time, like I think, oh yeah, I'm doing what that lady's telling me to do, or I look like that video, and then I film, I'm like, oh, I gotta engage my core a little bit more. So or use a mirror, and I'm working out a lot of times in my back patio, so I use my windows because there's a reflection on your window. So I use that just to make sure you have the form right. So you can get a light set of dumbbells, you can join a structured program and video yourself, but the goal is to start light and perfect your form first. Because if you go too heavy, you don't want to be injuring yourself. So go light, and you definitely don't know how much weight to pick up the first time you do. So you just kind of have to listen to your body. So like you pick up a weight, and then if you can perform like the 8 moves or whatever they're doing easily, then that means you need to pick up a heavier weight. So you want those last 2 reps to feel a little difficult, but you had 2 more in reserve. So like you say, okay, I finished that. It feels hard. I could have done 2 more, and that's it. So then you're at the right weight. And that there's some trial and error with that. So I recommend that you keep a diary, write down what you did, see how you felt. If you're sore for 10 days, now you're sore for like 3 days after, maybe back it up, and you will be a little sore the first time you start something. Any new exercise, you're going to be sore. So just give yourself plenty of space between your exercises. If you're sore and you work on top of that, that's probably not a good thing. So giving yourself that rest in between is going to be important. But I would start with that. Light, dial in your form, keep a diary how you're feeling, and progress from there.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I think, Krista and I were talking, I think one of the biggest things is women afraid of getting hurt. That's one thing. And then the other thing is that I think a lot of women are afraid to lift heavy weights because they think they're going to look like a dude. And you know, that's, and I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. Like, and, you know, I think that, you know, another thing is, even if you don't have a lot of money, let's say, in terms of hiring a personal trainer, you don't have to hire a personal trainer for you can hire them for just a few sessions to get the ball rolling. So you understand the foundation. So that way, if you go into a program, you can feel more confident about yourself as you have a real clue. It'll kind of get the ball rolling for you when you have somebody just really focused on you and your form, and you can continue going from there.
I agree. I also want to say this too, like a lot of women are hesitant to start any kind of program because they're like, oh, I have a shoulder issue or I'm having knee surgery. And then they delay starting any kind of forward movement because of their issues. And, you know, in midlife, we're all working around something. My shoulder does not like push-ups. So I just avoid the push-ups and I work around. I do what you can with what you have is what I'm saying. Like, and if you can't do any like fitness, then do the nutrition. Nutrition is going to be the biggest dial mover when it comes to fat loss. Layering in the strength training is next. Choosing 2 or 3 days with some space in between is going to be a great place to start. But don't let, you know, even I sprained my ankle and I was able to do so. I did leg exercises lying down, like nothing load bearing. I was able to do core, upper body. I maintained, I did Pilates. I did lots of things to work around it. So don't let that one thing stop you from continuing to progress because there's always going to be something, right? There's always going to be something we can say.
That's really good advice.
Start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing advice. I think that's such a good point. We also had a question about, like, if you work out legs, does that improve your metabolism?
Yes. So I'll be honest, I never really liked working legs because I was such a runner and triathlete. I feel like I got enough legs. I wanted to like beef up my upper body, but I'm into leg day because legs are one of your largest muscle groups are found in your lower body. And if you can build that muscle, larger muscle means you're going to really rev up the metabolism. So you're going to get more bang for your buck working legs. There's actually a study out there that says that, you know, for 80-year-olds, the strength of their legs is highly related to their cognitive function. So it's like amazing how much your strength can relate to your brain health. It's just such an amazing thing. So I never skip a leg day now. So leg days are on Saturdays, but if I'm away, I'll make it on a Friday. But working those big muscle groups is going to give you the maximum for your metabolism because you're going to build that big muscle group and it's just really going to be amazing. So, but you really want to balance your whole body. You don't want to just be working legs. You want to work the whole body in balance is ideal. Yeah, that's a good question.
So can you tell us a little bit about the Faster Way to Fat Loss coaching program that you lead?
Yes, absolutely. So I lead a group every month and it's specific for midlife women. So women in their 40s, 50s, 60s. And so I'm a coach for the program. And what I have done is I've taken the Faster Way ideas and I've customized it for what we need as midlife women. So I bring in my functional nutrition training and combined it with their app that has the workouts, the meal plans, the carb cycling. And I coach women through that 6-week program. And most women that sign up are looking for fat loss, more energy. They want to know some of them are doing all the things. They're working out at Orange Theory 6 days a week, doing this and that and eating clean. I've heard all the stories in my messages and what they're doing is not working. So they're like, oh, I need another strategy. So this is going to teach them all the strategies. And then I bring things in, like I have a sleep module and I have a module on balancing your blood sugar because that's really important because when estrogen lowers, we have to really dial that in. I talk about the protein distribution. So we talk about all these things that we need as midlife women. And it has been really so rewarding to have this platform and program that I could provide because honestly, I was thinking about making my own. But at 55, I just don't want to be spending my days making workouts for ladies and meal plans and running that. So I just get to do what I love to do is coach women.
Awesome.
So, but I also want to bring in my own stuff that I love.
Yeah.
I have to add that, you know, I was in your group program 2 years ago. I joined because I felt like I was doing all the things and nothing was working.
Yes.
And I have to add, it's an amazing program. If you feel like you're stuck, the 6 weeks, it's supportive. You're in a group. I was able to do the workouts and they're really good workouts. They are challenging workouts. They are not easy, but they do have the different modifications. So depending on where you're at, you could start somewhere. And I thought what was so cool in the group actually was when people kind of reported at the end, like where they had come from. And we were all starting at different points, but it didn't matter because we all made improvements from where we started. And so it wasn't about doing the program perfectly. I remember there was someone in the group that had just really difficult circumstances in their family life. And the only thing they were able to do was like start tracking their macros a little bit, you know, and they didn't do the exercises. They didn't do all the, you know, they didn't try all the new recipes, but that was okay because they still made progress. And so that's what I loved about it. And I loved your attitude about that, where we celebrated the small wins. It was good.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no one that does the program perfectly. There's no one. And so I think that we have a lot of women who have all or nothing mentality, like I have to do all the things in order to get the results I want. And the goal is, you know, at the end of 42 days is to make progress, because then you're better off where you are at 42 days than you were at day one. And there's no rush. Take it at your own pace. I even tell ladies, like, don't think of this as like a program, because programs do give you the idea that like, I got to do everything. I got to check all the boxes. I got to do all the things. And then they stress. Whereas think of this like a class. You're learning how to fuel your midlife body. You're learning exercises that are appropriate for what we need to balance out these declining hormones. And that just takes that pressure off of like, okay. And then also like, just give yourself grace and focus on that progress is so important. Because I always say the lean, fit woman is not the woman who makes progress. It's the woman who acknowledges her progress, right? Because our brain is always going to look at, hey, this is the stuff I didn't do. But I'm like, look at what you did do. And so we have to really train our brain to recognize all these big wins that we're doing. So every Friday we celebrate our wins in the group, and that's fun because it makes you think, and then you have to type it out, and then all the ladies are commenting, and it's just a really supportive group. And I love it because some women do not have healthy women in their lives, and they don't have a community where people are on the same goal of health and eating healthy. And it's hard if you're by yourself. I have so much love. The ladies are just amazing. We're all in the same stage of life. We all are dealing with the belly fat and the struggles. And it's just nice to know that you're in a community that is, you know, that gets you.
Yeah. And I got to say, I love that you're doing those acknowledging everybody talks about their small wins on, you know, you said every Friday, because honestly, I think if you really observe yourself, you're probably bashing yourself more than you are showing yourself grace or acknowledging your wins. And so I think that when we're put in a position where we have to talk about our wins, and you have to think like, oh, what were my wins, right? And you're like, oh yeah, I had that win. Oh wow. And I had that win. And then you're like, oh wow. And it's just, you know, it's the perspective. Is your perspective is what makes it.
Yeah.
You know, it's really what makes it. So love that.
I mean, you think about like 10 people will compliment you and one will have a negative compliment. What are you going to hold on to? You're going to be thinking about that negative compliment. That's just the way the brain is wired. So you have to make that focus on all the things you did win. So like, if you're listening, like, and you're trying to on this health journey, like Fridays, write down your wins. Like write it down, look at them, give yourself a pat on the back, do something fun for yourself, like go, you know, whatever it is. And because that's really what's going to keep the momentum going. When you acknowledge that wins, it's going to keep your motivation going. And that's going to create the sustainable lifestyle that you want. And soon it's not even going to be work. It's just going to be what you do, which is amazing when you get there.
Yeah. Yep. It becomes your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Well, being mindful of our time today, Chris, what are two simple things we can do today to lose weight after 40, you know, build muscle, feeling our best, whatever? What are two simple things that you would say that a woman can start off with today?
Yes. So if you're just starting out and you're like, okay, I want to make some changes, I always say start with your first meal. You got to eat your first meal, which is breakfast every day. So aim for 30 grams of protein. And I actually have a high protein. I have like 10 high protein breakfasts. So you can download that and take a look at it and make one of those and just start your day that way. And then nail down your breakfast. And then you can move on to lunch, like take small steps. So when you start your day with that, it's also going to set yourself up for a healthier lunch, and it'll support the amino acids your brain needs. So I would say start with that first meal. Start with 20 grams, work your way up to 30. And that would be a great simple thing, because you've got to eat anyway, right? You got to prepare something, just change some things up and make that first simple change. I would say that. And then do you want another one? I'm trying to think of a simple thing. Is, you know, I'm thinking of something simple, because simple means it's kind of free, right? And then something that everyone can do and accessible is to just move, get up from your desk, go for a walk, you know, take the stairs. Like I have a lot of people think that I just work out and make meals all day, but I'm not at my desk a lot. And I have to make myself get up and moving. I wish that's all I did. That would be the perfect life. But that's what you see, right? So a lot of times I'm writing newsletters and in the groups and text messages. And so, you know, just moving your body more, because when you move and you're used to moving, you will not want to stop. Like you will. And the more you can move your body, the better you're going to be in the long run. You're going to burn more calories. And like there's a saying that sitting is the new smoking. So just get up and move. And when you move, you're more likely to like eat something healthy. And when you eat something healthy, you'll have more energy so you can get on that upward spiral of feeling your best.
Love that.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to tell everybody that Chris's popular Instagram account is Functional Health Coach Chris 2.0, and it's full of tips and tricks for midlife women looking to level up their weight loss, muscle gains, and nutrition. And if you'd like to join her very popular Faster Way to Fat Loss coaching program, we have a link to that in our show notes.
Yay. That's so exciting. Thank you guys for having me. I just love talking about this. We could talk for hours, I think.
Yes, we could. We could. Absolutely. I love it. Thank you so much, Chris. It was wonderful.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes.
We would love to hear from you. Please leave a comment or review. Email us at info@functionalmoms.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.